May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It's lovely to be with you on this most holy night as we gather to celebrate Christ's birth. And it's especially good to be with you as St. Andrew's celebrates its 125th anniversary on this night. As I look out at you, I think that how over the last 125 years, people have gathered in this space to celebrate Christmas. They've gathered through to celebrate in good times and in bad times. They've gathered to celebrate during two world wars and two economic depressions, and also through times of plenty and of joy and of celebration. As part of our 125th anniversary, one of the things that we have done is we commissioned a history of the parish, and one of our parishioners, Sandra Rigney, spent a year in the church archives putting together this history. And as she worked away, she came across two letters that she gave to me that really made me think about Christmas and this evening. They're letters that I found very powerful and moving. They were written by two young men in different parts of the world, two young men who grew up in this parish and who are parishioners here. They wrote these letters when they were serving in the armed forces during the Second World War. One of them wrote from the battlefields of Europe and the other one from the battlefields of the Pacific. I want to share these letters with you. One wrote from the battlefields of Belgium. For a little while last night, I forgot about the cold and the mud and the death around us, and thought of you at St. Andrew's. It seems to me now that the Christmas Eve service was a high point of Christmas when we were growing up. The other young man from a ship in the Pacific wrote, "The Christmas Eve service and the Christmas carols all take on a new poignancy when one has learned how death can come at any moment." And as I thought about these letters, they made me reflect on two things about Christmas. I thought about how these two young men were caught up in grand historical forces beyond their control, of which they had no part in creating, and how small and vulnerable they felt as these forces swept over the world. And it made me think about how this service at St. Andrew's on Christmas Eve was a source of strength and encouragement to them, a source of light that even the darkness of war could not overcome. It was a sign of light and a sign of hope. I've spoken to many of you over this last year, and while we may not be in times of war, many of you have spoken about that sense of the forces of history sweeping over you that make you feel helpless and frightened at times, whether it be the deep divisions in our society. And I'm sure that many of us are a bit frightened about some of the conversations we might have over Christmas dinner and try to avoid political topics. Whether it's the deep divisions in our society, or whether it is the fear of globalization, or the deep fear that many have over the effects of climate change. At times, these forces can make us feel so small and insignificant. And if it isn't these forces, it can be things that are happening to us in our personal lives. But this church has been here for 125 years as a source of encouragement, as a sign of God's presence with us, as a sign that God will never let go of us, will always be here for us. The other thing I thought about as I read these two letters was the Christmas story itself. I'm a person of deep faith, and I have a deep sense of the indwelling of Jesus in my soul. But I know that sometimes people will say to me, "Gee, Adrian, that Christmas story, it's a bit odd and weird, isn't it? Why would God, in all his majesty, and everything that God could do, why would God choose to reveal himself in one tiny baby, in one small, insignificant country, in one small, insignificant time in history. Why would God do that? Why would God do that? But to me, it makes absolute sense. It's a sign of God's deep love for us. It's a sign that you and me and those two young men on the battlefields of World War II, it was a sign that their lives and your lives matter. God doesn't stand in a royal palace watching us get on with our lives full of suffering and challenge. God doesn't stand like a clergyman aloof in his pulpit preaching to people. In Christ and in Christmas, God descends to be among us. God comes alongside us and experiences our lives in human form. And God says to each of us in doing this that your life is important. Your life matters. You matter, and God is with you. Even the people in the transept, your lives matter. Even you. We all matter. This is the great gift of Christmas, the gift of knowing that each and every one of us is significant. But there's another gift that comes alongside this gift. It's the gift that our lives mean something. It's not that we're just loved, but our lives have meaning and purpose. This is the greatest gift that God gives us. God isn't a remote God who pulls strings and makes things happen. God invites us into his plan to make the love of Christ and the love of God present in the world. Indeed, God's love will not shine unless we take up the challenge to make that love shine. We are the hands of God. We are the lights of the world. At the end of our service, you will each light your candle and will dim the lights. I hope as we do this, this candle will do two things. Firstly, it will remind you of God's love for you, just as this service reminded those two young men during the Second World War that God was with them. But I hope also it will do another thing. I hope you will realize and think about what that candle signifies. It signifies the way God is calling you and you and you and you and you to be the lights that shine in the world. If only half of you decide you're going to light your candles, the church will only be half lit. If only half of you take up the challenge to be the person God is calling you to be people of love, then only God's kingdom will partially be realized. It's not up to the government or to people on the media or to some non-profit to bring God's love into the world. It's up to you and me. It's our sacred calling. And it's what makes our lives worthwhile and real. So as you light that candle, think about how is God calling you, and think about whether you want to be part of the light. Let your light so shine that God's glory may be seen in the world. Amen.